It's Monday again, and this is the news, according to my cat. Good morning. It is Monday morning, August 22nd, 7:22 a.m. Almost 7:23. It's actually right now. It is 7:23. So there you go. You're all up to date. And that's what we're all about here on this show. This is the show where, if you're new to the show, which you're probably not, because it doesn't seem like we have many new listeners lately. I'm not sure what's going on. The last week or so, it's been kind of flatlined on the number of listeners. But we have, not increasing this week, so I'm not sure what's going on with that. We have, it's the show where I tell you I'm not a doctor or a lawyer. I'm not a politician. I'm not a geopolitical expert analyst. I'm not a virologist or a doctor. I'm not any kind of life coach or financial counselor. I'm just a guy with a bunch of opinions with a microphone, and I have the ability to make a podcast. So if you want to know anything about making a podcast, I can do that. I can do that for you. Making a podcast successful, that's a whole other story. That's another ball game there. That's somebody else has that job. It's not mine. Again, that gets back into the whole expert thing of somebody else. I can tell you how to plug in a microphone and do a recording. That I can tell you. So if you have any questions about that, just let me know. I'm the expert on plugging in microphones. Come to the right place. My cat apparently really likes this sound booth. I think I've talked about it before, but apparently he was in here again over the weekend. And of course, he likes to pull the little foam pad I have that I usually keep my keyboard on. I found a cat here, right here. There's a cat. There's obviously he's been here. So I'm doing a forensic study while I'm talking. The little pad I keep my keyboard on, which is my whole desk here is covered with these little foam pads. They're like little craft pads, but they're just enough to keep the little notice pop up here. I thought maybe my recording had stopped, but it didn't. So, I just enough to keep the reflections down. That, you know, it doesn't keep any. And there's no bounce. There's no weird, frequencies here in my little booth here. And he likes to chew on this pad. He likes to take it down and he thinks it's a toy. He thinks it's a game. Oh, look at it. It's up there again. It wants me to take it down. It wants me to pull the keyboard down and bounce it around. It wants me to go over here to the mixer and push these levers and dials and switches around a little bit. So I never know exactly what I'm going to find when I come in here. I think he actually is doing his own podcast. Pretty sure. I just haven't figured out how he's doing it. The Mark Levin, by the way, he had a show on over the weekend, and he always has a Sunday night show, Life, Liberty, and Levin. The guy's a brilliant legal mind, understands what's going on. He understands the principles of the founding fathers and the individual rights that we have. Has a tendency to have a little bit of an establishment bent to him, but he definitely calls out the establishment. I think he's more of a traditional Republican, probably. Not a rhino Republican, certainly not I wouldn't consider him establishment, but he tends to lean a little bit more that way. I'm going to be careful when I say that because I don't think he is one. He's definitely a Trump supporter. He doesn't like everything about Trump, which I don't know anybody that does. There are some people who are just nuts about Trump, think he's the most brilliant person on the planet. I'm not one of those. I do think he had it right in many, many ways. Levin calls him out on this stuff. He says he's basically an independent who has a business sense and in a sense of what's traditional in our nation, which is left, which is against the left. It's a right-leaning country in terms of its founding. And that's what Trump is about, and that's why on policy, basically 90% of the time, I was with everything Trump did. But I believe that he went along with some of the things that the Democrats wanted for the cause, for the reason of negotiation. And I think that's where that's some of the things I disagreed with him on. Now, I think that'll be different if he gets into office again. I don't think there's going to be any more of that. He's had it with them. He understands what they're about now. They've invaded his home now. This has pretty much solidified, I think, his resolve. He is not going to stand down on them or negotiate with them anymore. They've gone too far. Levin makes a comment. I'd like to play it, actually. The very, very beginning of his show, it really spells out exactly what I think needs to be said in terms of who the Democrats are, what they are about, and how this... He just frames it very well at the very beginning, makes a very good statement. And there's no way that I can do it justice. So I'm just going to have him, I'm just going to play what he said. I think it's about like the first minute or so. So we'll just listen to this, what he has to say here.
Welcome to the United States of the Democrat Party. Now, what does that mean? When you look around the world, you look at China, you look at Russia, you look at certain countries in the Middle East, you look at Central and South America, country's not first, party's first. Party comes first. Among others, that's what Marx taught, communism. You can't really be two parties. You can't really have disputes, freedom of speech, freedom of association. You need conformity and uniformity. You need it to find utopia on Earth. And utopia cannot come from the free will of individuals. It comes from a centralized elite, self-appointed elite, a ruling class that determines how much you will pay for drugs, how much you will pay for health care, what kind of automobile you will drive, whether or not zoning will allow certain homes in certain places, and on and on and on. Get my drift? The Democrat Party is a force that was not intended by the founders of this country or the framers of the Constitution. It is a party that fundamentally hates America and seems to be burning down various aspects of it. It is attacking the Constitution on a regular basis. You hear them say, well, that's way back then with the white slave owners. We've got to be able to change this document in fundamental ways. And so they attack the independence of the Supreme Court. They want to pack it with radical left ideologues. They attack national sovereignty on the border so they don't enforce the immigration laws. They attack our oil industry.
So you get a flavor of what he was talking about. And that first minute or so, minute and a half, lays it out very clearly. The comparison between living in a Marxist, socialist, communist, collectivist society compared to one of an individual rights and a foundation of individualism rather than collectivism and group think. You see, when they can throw you into a group, they throw you into a tank or a pigeonhole. And that ends up being your identity. That's who you are. And they prey, this is why young people have a tendency to typically fall for this very easily, because they want to be part of the group. Even if it's the anti-group, they want to be part of that group. They want to find a way to fit in, even if it's among the misfits. You know, someone who says, well, I just want to express myself and be free to be me. That's why I want to stick these little metal things in my nose and my mouth and my chin and my ears, all that stuff, like everybody else is doing who's part of this group that's against doing conformity. This idea of having a tattoo, this idea of having metal things in my nose. It was an original thought. I just came up with it on my own. No, you didn't. That's not free to be you. That's free to be what other people are doing that you want to be like. It's more complicated than just you being yourself. it is still becoming part of a group. Now, I have to say this before, because nobody's talking about it. No, even not, Mark Levin didn't even mention this, and I have to bring it up because it's part of the show, and that is what is in my cup. I have a chai, the family chai recipe. Family I've never met before. I don't know who they are. I'm not sure who's got this. I probably met them, but I don't know. I don't know. I'm not sure who made it. It's a chai. It came back from a reunion that I didn't get to go to, so I'm not sure exactly who made it. Somebody on my wife's side of the family. So I have this chai with, of course, Cinnabon creamer in it. And then I also have a backup cup this morning because it's Monday. So I have some sweet tea that I made over the weekend, along with some, I do have some V8 Fusion in there, peach mango fusion in my sweet tea. I'd say it's about a third peach mango, two-thirds sweet tea. I didn't put any ice in there, though, this morning. Everything was already cold, and I just didn't feel like chewing on it. The ice makes a lot of noise in this cup, so I opted not to do these. So I'm taking a sip right now. You can't already hear me. You can just hear my lips smack, and you can't hear the jingle-jangle of the ice in the cup. Another thing that's happening this morning is about every 30 seconds, 45 seconds, my system is the computer, the Dow here, the Logic Pro. He is acting like a Logic amateur this morning. The disk is overloaded and it keeps, it's probably seamless for you. You probably can't tell the difference because I'm very quick on the edit to restart the thing. But so far at this point, it should be shutting off here just about any second now again, telling me that the disk is overloaded. I have one of the fastest Macs there are at the time I bought it. It has a solid state drive. All kinds of RAM, and it can't handle recording my voice this morning. Pretty frustrating. So I may have to start recording this on just the regular vocal recorder thing, voice recorder, and just dropping that file in here. It makes more sense. That thing never stops on that one. Something about Logic Pro, and this is a thing because I've seen it on YouTube. There's videos on how to make it better. Now, right now, this is the longest it's gone. It's gone about. Since I started talking about it, that's quite a while. It's too long, actually. I was hoping it would cut off there to kind of give you an idea of what it's like. It won't do it again until I start talking about politics, because I'm pretty sure it's something innate inside the CIA's program here. I have what was I talking about? I was talking about the whole utopia groupthink thing, and how kids, young people especially, have this need. They don't recognize it. Even in their rebellion, that they wouldn't. They are not. I mean, they won't just go along. They're not acting independently when they do this rebellious stuff. They want to be part of a group. Well, it's easy for the left at that point. Once they've got you in that tank, now they can drive the narrative that you're involved with. There, it just happened again right before I said involved with. It decided it was overwhelmed. So the left is they are masters at this, and the reason their ability to do this is because most of the professors in most of the colleges and universities, especially the uppity ones, are all in the tank for this. They're molding these little minds of made of mush, as Rush Limbaugh would say. And it's there's some truth to that, because your brain does not fully develop until you're in your late 20s, sometimes early 30s, which is why most people, when they're younger, they're more liberal. And then by the time you get into your 30s, and especially when you start having kids, you become a little more conservative and you start understanding a little bit more about life. And of course, the older you get, typically, if you've grown up and your brain's developed, you start to become a little bit more realizing that, hey, this idea of dependence on government is not a great idea. You really should be fending for yourself a little bit more. Now, looking back on things, if I had to change anything about the way the major thing I think I would have changed is when I was 15, And I was looking at the possibility, of course, of getting a car at some point. I was already a junior in high school. It was the summer before my junior year in high school. I was 15 years old. And I was looking at, no, is that right? I was 14 years old. Yeah, whatever I was. I started my senior year when I was 16. So I must have been 15 when I started my junior year. So I was looking at getting a car. Well, that summer, that fall, it was like August of that. We didn't start school until after Labor Day at that point. School has now started. They basically give them like 1 week off now for the summer, unless you're in Michigan. I had an opportunity to buy this little MG, little Triumph. Was it Triumph? It was a Triumph. Maybe it was a Triumph. I think it was a Triumph. And I had the opportunity to buy it for $300. Now, back then, $300 was quite a bit of money, but I had that scraped together. I could afford that. I had probably $200 to my name, and I probably could have come up with the other $100. And he had another engine in the crate. He was going to throw in with the deal, and a lot of spare parts, a lot of stuff. The interior needed some work. I think it only had one seat in it, which is all I needed. It ran just fine. I started it up and it ran. But like I said, he had another engine. Having that car would have changed my entire course in life, probably. But I made the decision to go into debt and buy my brother's old Chevy Blazer. I think it was a 72, I believe it was. It had a ragtop. It actually had a convertible. The only thing I didn't like about it was that it had no roll bar. It always kind of concerned me that it had no roll bar. Now, the thing had a pretty wide stance. It wasn't as prone to rolling as some vehicles are. However, if I had ever rolled that car, I would have been a dead man. There was nothing other than the frame around the windshield that would have held the car up if it would have tipped over. Very little protection there. Thank goodness I never had an accident with it at all. I never had any fender benders with it. I drove it for a couple of years, and then I sold it or traded it in on another car. I got a Triumph TR7. Bump, bump, the shape of things to come. It was like a shape like a wedge. And from that day forward, the day I bought that truck, I think I paid $2,000 for it. I was in debt for a car. And I traded that car in for the Triumph. I traded that car in for something else. Can't remember what I got after that. I think I then bought another. I always had a car payment. I always had a car payment after that. Now, for a little while, I had a car that I was fixing up, and I sold everything I had at one point to go to a school out in California. It was a scuba diving instructor school called the Patty Gold College. I went out to San Diego. I was 18 years old, and I drove a Volkswagen Baja kit Beetle. I had worked on this thing for about a year and was trying to get it all ready to go. And I had sold my, I think at that point I had sold the Blazer and, had this, no, I sold, yeah, sold, I'd also sold the Triumph. Actually the dealer I bought it from just bought it back from me. So I took that money and put it up in my school account, drove this Volkswagen for a while, and got it fixed up. I was working at a factory at the time, still living at home. Saved up my pennies and went out to school. Was out there for quite a while, less than a year, but went through the school, the Patty Gold College, became a scuba diving instructor because, you know, there was such a demand for it. And ended up coming back home. Now, my parents at the time, my dad owned a small, little tiny marina on a little lake in Indiana. And so I came back to that. thinking that, well, I'm going to do that, and I'm going to get my I'm going to finish up my karate studies. I was in Taekwondo before I left, and I was close to getting my green belt, I think. So I finished doing that while I was still working, and I was trying to get this the scuba diving thing going. So I was teaching classes at the local high school, YMCA, wherever I could find a pool that I could teach in through the wintertime. Usually the early spring, late winter, early spring, I'd start the class, and then by spring, when the water was still 50 degrees, we'd jump in the water and do our open water dives. That way they could do their thing. So I was doing all that stuff, and I was teaching, I was 19 and 20 years old doing this stuff. And I ended up, and I was just a kid. Holy cow. I had no liability insurance. So I ended up taking this Volkswagen out there to do the school thing. Well, then of course, I was in debt again, because I think this might have been a point in my life where I actually wasn't in debt. Like, I had sold, or I can't remember anything that I had, unless I still had a little bit of an unsecured loan, I think I might have had. But I had my parents' credit card. Basically, my dad just gave me the credit card and sent me on my way, and I just kind of bought stuff as I went. And I spent a lot of money. He never said anything about it. I got out there and bought some new scuba equipment and bought a new wetsuit and all kinds of stuff. And he never said anything about it. Now, up until this point, I had worked for him pretty hard at the marina. And all I got was, peanuts. I literally got all the pop and candy I could eat. So I think he felt like he had, I had invested something in his business, and he was willing to invest in my education at that point. So, but he never said a word about it. They asked. And so I got out there, and on the way out there, my car broke down. And I ended up happened to roll right into a place in Oklahoma that happened to work on Volkswagens. So I pulled into this place, and he happened to, he was kind of a little bit of a shyster. He wanted this car. And he basically took it from me for nothing, and then ended up having me basically traded it for an old Ford LTD. I can't remember it was just an LTD. It was the regular coupe type, it was an old, big old boat car. That got me all the rest of the way out to San Diego, barely. Got out there, and of course that was, not the cool car to have in San Diego, as Ford LTD is not exactly, So before I left, I ended up, I didn't want to take that thing back across the country again, so I sold it for like $300. And I went and bought a Chevy Monza, not a Mazda. That would have been a cool car. Now, the Monza was a pretty neat car. It had a V6 in it. It didn't have the V8, but it was the hatchback. And it was a pretty nice car. It was I drove that thing a lot of miles. I drove it home, had it for several years until I finally traded it in on a Honda Accord. Best car I've run. But in the meantime, I went back into debt to buy that car, and I was in debt again had a car payment for many, many years after that. And of course, you get married and you have a house payment and whatever other payments you've got. So it was kind of a ridiculous, and if I had changed anything in my life, I think I would have never, ever, ever gone into debt or even gotten maybe gotten a credit card just for the sake of having it there for traveling, that kind of thing, with no intention of ever carrying a balance on it. I have to wonder how different my life would have been. Now, would have it been worse? Would I still be living in a cardboard box? I don't know. I doubt it. Somehow I think I would have figured out how to save up my money to get what I needed to do. It would have meant more to me because I was spending my hard-earned money, everything I'd, rather than just living on future Kevin, I was going to live on past effort. And, you remember, you have a memory of your past effort. In other words, if I work 40 hours a week for 4 weeks, and I look back on that, I remember that. That was a lot of hard work. And do I want to take all that work and spend it on something like a Game Boy, you know, some kind of Game Boy or whatever, you know, whatever. Some kind of video game. Do I want to spend it on that? Or do I want to invest it in something that's going to last a little bit longer, that's going to get me out of this rut of doing this 40 hours of work every week for 4 weeks? Or I can choose to just spend the money now and get what I want, and then work the 40 weeks or 40 hours a week for 4 weeks that are ahead of me that I can't see. It doesn't affect me because I can't feel it. I haven't done it. So it doesn't feel like anything to me. I haven't invested anything yet. But I got what I wanted. Now I have to pay it off. Now that thing owns me. That's the way you should look at it. That car now owns you for the next 4 years of all your payments, because you've got to make those payments or they'll take that car away. And then what are you going to do then? This is not a road I intended to go down this morning. But this is the way young people are sucked in and drawn in. And I think Mark hits it on the nose with his little talk, and he kind of explains it as in this way of, how do we see America right now? This is, the left isn't just trying to get things done differently. They want the country completely changed. They don't want the United States of America. They want a Democrat Party run country. And their Democrat Party is a Marxist party now. They have gone over that hill. Now, we've seen in the last 2 years, less than 2 years, what happens to a party that has completely unleashed, except for one sliver of a thread in the Senate. They're just barely over the edge in the Senate. Not enough to really slow them down. A few people teetering on the edge. Now, I don't know what's going on with Manchin. I'm not sure what's going on with Sinema. They are still Democrats. You can't do a deal with a Democrat. You can't do a deal with a Viper. And I'm sorry, but that's, maybe you consider yourself a Democrat because your family was a Democrat. You grew up Democrat. That's just what you've always been. Well, I hate to tell you this, but your party has left you. If you're a traditional Democrat and you think that the Democrats care about, the party itself cares about this country, you're being deceived. Now, maybe you think you can reform the Democrat. I don't think the Democrat Party is beyond reform now. They've gone down the slippery slope. Their trajectory is set in such a way right now that I don't think that there's any way back. Look at the future of the party. Look at the squad. That's the future of the party. Cenk Uygur. The whole organization behind everybody that's there in the squad. They are the future of the Democrat Party. And we are headed headlong to we are already in a civil war. Bullets aren't flying, and I'm not saying bullets are ever going to be the answer to this particular civil war. This is a war of ideology, and it is a completely opposite ideology from what we have with regard to our Constitution and what the founders intended for this country. They are using the freedoms and liberties we have. Now, I think it was Benjamin Franklin who said, the only trouble with this is once the people discover that they can vote themselves money from the Treasury, the nation will be ruined. That is what the left has, not only that, but they've also discovered that they have certain rights that they can use to undermine the founding of our nation, the founding principles. They can use the very principles that we are established on to change the country. So there's this King of the Hill thing, and they want to be on top of it. See, it's the rulers, the elites, the oligarchs, if you will, who are basically all the money people behind the politicians. they are the oligarchs. They're funding the campaigns and the stuff that they want to have to get their way so that they can have more power, more authority, and shut everybody else out. This is what they do. Once they've made it to the top, they don't want to see anybody else get to the top. They want to close out any competition. They want to establish an empire that's bulletproof. And they want to sit at the top of that empire. And that empire has to have rulers, legislators, that will protect them. And that's exactly what they're doing. So that you, the little guy, I'll decide whether you're happy or not. Basically, is what they want to say. So here we are. We're in the midst of an ideological civil war. It is also a war of information. Who controls much of that, the transport or the conduit for the information that we have, that we use to communicate back and forth? It is very tainted by the left's agenda. Make no mistake. So yes, this is where we are. It's a happy Monday morning to you. Hello. Welcome to the Civil War. We have to start to arm ourselves with information, with facts. This whole thing that's happening right now with Trump, in fact, is a prime example. Mark Levin goes on to say that no president ever in the history of this nation, no president has ever had think about the ridiculousness of this whole raid thing. Well, it wasn't a raid. Let's not call it a raid. Hey, when armed personnel shows up at your house, forcibly enters your home. And yes, if they're all armed, they're showing up with long guns. I think there was like a 60 police officers there total. 60 officers there. Not all of them entered the home. There were 20 to 30 of them, I think, in the home. That's by force, folks. That's forcible entry. If you don't have your house locked and someone shows up, you happen to be out working in your garden, and they say, take us into your house. And they're all holding guns. Okay. Was that forcible entry? Well, they didn't, the door was unlocked. You let them in. Yeah, that's coercion. That's called forcible entry. You were forced to go in the house. You were out doing something else. You had no intention of going in the house at that moment, and they told you to, and you had to do it. That's forcible entry. You were under duress. They come into that house. They have an unconstitutional warrant on its face. We're allowed to take these certain documents and any other containers or documents near them or that they were a part of. Seriously. So you weren't looking for something specific. It was just this general dragnet that you were just coming in and just swooping up anything you could out of there. Now, here's my take. As I've thought through this whole process, there's several things that they meant to accomplish in this process. The powers that be, the war room people behind the scenes who are saying, what are we going to do? How are we going to? They're playing a chess game here. Now, speaking of war rooms, just a side note. Hopefully I can get back to my thought on this. I'm going to put a pin in that. Trump raid. I got to remember to go back to that. Okay. Jeffrey Toobin left CNN for a little while, and they hired him back. He has now, my understanding is he's resigned again. Now, I think he resigned on his own accord this time. Maybe he was asked to resign. I was asked to resign one time from a job. It's the only time I've ever been fired that I was not actually resigning. They asked me to resign. I was fired. Only one time in my life. And it was the most ridiculous thing in the world. The interesting thing about this is that he's leaving now. Now, he was part of a group. Now, when he got caught the first time with his doing something on camera that he shouldn't have done, he they fired him, supposedly fired him. Well, what they were in the middle of doing, and they happened to just kind of briefly mention this. They were playing out election day scenarios for 2020. This was back in 2019. Actually, it was in 2020. I guess it was in 2020. It was before the election, though. They were playing out scenarios of how this was going to play out, how it was going to go down during the election. Well, if this happens, we're going to do this. If that happens, we're going to do that. This is the stuff that they do behind the scenes. You know, when you have a 2 or 3 hour show, all the rest of that time is spent preparing for the show. They don't just work 2 hours a day. They work 8 to 10 hours a day, at least. On top of that, probably another 2 hours at home. They're constantly reading and they're busy people. They're hardworking people, don't get me wrong. And they're constantly motivated and passionately involved in playing out these scenarios. How they're gonna present certain things, the whole scenario of, okay, what if this state wins and that state loses, and what are we gonna do? So they were war rooming, I call it war rooming or war gaming, the election night, how they're gonna play it out. This was months before the election. They do this stuff all the time. They sit in rooms and discuss, well, if we use this term, if we play this angle in the news. And Zucker got caught doing this, by the way. It's the previous CEO or whatever he was of CNN. Project Veritas had been listening to them for months and played a lot of their... They had a conference call every morning with Zucker, and got their marching orders as to how they were going to play everything out in the news. Stories that were going to make it, stories that weren't, what the narrative was supposed to be, the key words for them to use. Where do you think he didn't just come up with this on his own? This was his think tank people were coming up with this stuff. It was a constant. There's a constant thing going on all the time. Trying different keywords. What's the best word to use today? And you'll see this in some of the politicians. It was really obvious. Back when Trump was in office, and their heads were falling off all the time. They were blowing up all the time, and they would come out and say, "Well, we have to use the words Constitution, democracy, and something else." Those three words were predominantly in every politician's mouth from the left. Nancy couldn't hardly say it. Well, you have to protect the Constitution, the Constitution, the Demonstrary. She just kept going on about it. It's about the children. It's all about the children. It's the children. Why are you running for office again? The children. It's all about the children. It's the children, the children, the children. So that's what she said. What kind of statement is that? That's not a reason for running. What about the children? Can you explain? Is it because you like to eat children? Is it because you hate children? What is it? Because you want to kill the children in the womb? What is it? What is it, Nancy? Explain to me exactly what it is about the children that makes you want to run again. That someone else can't do for instead of, it just has to be you. Because nobody else cares about children like you do, apparently. But we don't know that. We don't know. But all she said was the children. That's not an answer. But she got away with it. I'm doing it for the children. Because that's what people want to hear. That's the baseline phrase that they know. That's what makes the difference. If I just say, I'm doing it for the children, it's for the children. Well, who's going to argue with that? Who's going to say, heck with the children? I don't care about the children. I'm not going to vote for you. You're for children. That's the game that they play all the time. So here we are with this ridiculous thread of things going on. Now, Tubin, I believe, is probably still working for CNN, or maybe he started his own company where he's going to be running the war room, the think tanks. Probably not going to be on, maybe he's going to be on camera anymore. Hopefully not. But behind the scenes, I guarantee you, he's not getting out of politics. He's not going back to private practice. He's going to be heavily involved. The more heavily involved they are, the less you will see them. For example, when was the last time you saw Valerie Jarrett on television? She lives in the same home with Obama in Washington. Everybody says it's Susan Rice that's running the show right now. No, I guarantee you, she's getting her orders from Valerie Jarrett. Nobody talks about her, but she's there. You can count that as, she's there. She hasn't moved out of the house. There's no other reason for her to be there. Now, getting back to the raid, they had to play out all the scenarios. Okay, if we send just a few FBI agents over there and they just ask for some documents and they get the documents back, let's just do that. And we'll have CNN there. And we'll just, some news organization will happen to be there that we just happen to let them know it's going to be there. And so they're playing out all this stuff. Of course, now when it all comes down, they've got contingency plans. Okay, what if the media says this? What if the media says that? What if they head in this direction? What if this happens? What if that happens? Do you really need to show up at a president's home with long guns? Is that really necessary? Because you see, they have to villainize this guy to the point where it looks like the next thing is a perp walk. That's what they want. They want the video of the president, pictures of the president in handcuffs. Really? He's a violent offender? He's going to fight you on the way out? You have to put him in cuffs, really? That's what they want, but that's what they want. They have to have that visual, and until they get it, they're not going to be happy with it. Because that's what they have so created this monster in their brains that they think Donald Trump is. Well, no other president has committed the provable crimes that anyone else has. Oh, what provable crimes? I don't want to talk to you. That's the epitome of the way the left is. Well, can you name the issue? I don't know. O'Rourke, Beto O'Rourke, like he's ever gone by Beto in his life, gets up in a school and he's talking about the AR-15 and how it was designed for military use. It was designed to penetrate a helmet at 500 yards. No, actually, Beto, it was not designed. Wasn't used in Vietnam. I don't even think the AR-15 existed when the Vietnam War was on. It looks like an M1 rifle. I think he's confusing it a little bit with some other wartime rifles. But that's, because he's deranged. So somebody was laughing at him for making these statements. So he cusses the kid out. He says, you may think it's funny that 19 people died, but that's, 19 children. But of course everybody claps for him after that. He wasn't laughing at the kids dying. He was laughing at your ridiculous statement about guns. You know nothing about what you're talking about. Your ignorance is laughable. And you want to be the one who regulates it. That's what the guy was laughing about. I would have waited till it died down. I said, I'm laughing at you, not the kids. Because you're so ignorant. You have no idea what you're talking about. So these people, they do this kind of thing. So this is one of the reasons, I think, is they wanted to have the optics of we had to raid the president's home because we were afraid he was going to destroy the records. I guarantee you, Trump probably knows about maybe one box of stuff that's in there. Now, Trump didn't go down in the basement of the White House and start digging through all the records and start throwing things into boxes and then flushing things down the toilet. He wasn't the one. They would have you believe that Trump was the one who was flushing things down the toilet. He literally got his hands splattered by the water as he pushed the toilet button. And he was running around throwing things into boxes and stealing the nuclear codes. That's what came out there for a while. Of course, that's what happened to that. Oh, he stole the nuclear codes. Folks, the nuclear codes change every day. That's not something that just stays all the time. They change that stuff constantly. Stuff is on like an algorithm that changes all constantly. It's not like the password. Oh, he stole the password. But the way they would have you believe this stuff, because they dumb down society and the way they just throw this stuff out there constantly, just ridiculous statements. Let's just look at some of the stuff right now. Let's go to YouTube here. And let's just look at if I can find some headlines from MSNBC. Typically, it's a little bit hard to find sometimes, especially in the morning, because most of my stuff here is Sky News Australia, which is good because it's... Yeah, we got BBC, Sky News Australia, all kinds of stuff here, because they're it's the daytime there for them, so this is their time to do all their stuff. However, MSNBC has had some of the most ridiculous headlines lately on some of their videos. Let's see what I can find here. If I go directly to their channel, it might be a little bit easier. Yeah, let's just do that. We're going to go to their channel here. I think that's the only... Okay, they've always got this guy on, Michael Cohen. And he's come out. He's like a superstar for them because he was Trump's lawyer. He was the guy who the whole Stormy Daniels thing and all that stuff. Michael Cohen keeps making these statements. Like, none of them want to go to prison. Well, so there are people who want to go to prison, Michael? That's a pretty dramatic statement you just made there. No, none of them. They keep saying the walls are closing in. This has been going on for 6 years, 7 years. Oh, he's a criminal. He's blah, 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 blah. Let's look at the... I'm just going to go to the channel here real quick and look at some of the headlines. So they are talking about the schools here, massive teacher shortage. How Trump's attempt to hold on to power led to the FBI search at Mar-a-Lago. Ballot measures to play key role in abortion fight. This fight, they're going after DeSantis here. Governor DeSantis touts his fight for freedom while villainizing the woke left. Deadly CIA. Liz Cheney's next chapter. What's Liz going to do next? Who cares? Hopefully she goes away. Let's see here. The battle for control of the Senate. Michael Cohen on Trump's allies flipping on him. None of them want to go to jail. None of them go to prison. Oh, they're all flipping on him now. They're all flipping on Trump now. Because none of them want to go to prison. Well, Rudy Giuliani came out and said had some pretty serious statements. He said, "These guys are." They're out for blood. This is ridiculous. He realizes now that this is dangerous. It's very dangerous what they're doing. There's nothing holding them back. No, they have no principles whatsoever here. Of course, now they're trying to hide this whole affidavit now. That the judge had come out and said, well, right now there's no reason for me not to release the affidavit. to unseal the document. But I'm going to give you a week to straighten it up and make it look right, block everything out. So, and their whole reason for this is, well, we have witnesses. We have to protect people. In other words, like, basically like Levin said last night on the show, they have spies in Trump's inner circle. They probably have spies in Mar-a-Lago. And they want to protect those people. Protect them from what? Being fired? Oh, we have to protect the whistleblower. The whistleblower. Protect them. Right now, there are 14 whistleblowers in the FBI saying what's going on in the FBI. Jim Jordan is sitting on that, and he is getting ready to unload. See, here's another one discussing the possibility of release affidavit. They're sentencing this younger. They're going after, oh, here's Peter Strzok, a clear pattern of behavior. Former FBI agent on law enforcement threats after Mar-a-Lago. Now, Peter Strzok is an interesting case. Peter Strzok, he actually worked for the CIA at one point. Nobody knows this very much about him. It's very possible that Peter Strzok was actually a plant from the CIA in the FBI. You see, for a while, the organizations weren't allowed to talk to each other. The CIA had to deal with everything outside the country. They could not deal with anything inside the country. I think the NSA was the same way. It was one way or the other. You could only deal within the borders or outside the borders. You couldn't deal with both. The FBI, of course, is all internal inside the borders. However, they can go after, through extradition, they can go after people who have left the country. They can conduct investigations outside the country if it's a U.S. citizen they're dealing with or a threat against a U.S. citizen. However, this is a home that has Secret Service individuals there. Do they really feel like they need long guns to go in there? It's the most ridiculous thing. This guy doesn't have a criminal past. Well, they would say he does. Certainly not violent criminal past. The only guy who will talk to North Korea. Settled things down over there. That doesn't matter to them. Because they have to have the optics. They have to have this whole thing look the way it is. So then we have the issue now of this whole affidavit and the warrant and everything else that's happened. I'm sure that they probably didn't play this out very well, but so they're trying to make changes to the plan. They tried to make all the contingency options, all the critical thinking. They tried to get all that down. What if this happens? What if that happens? Well, we'll pivot to this. We'll pivot to that. I don't think they saw it coming to this point. Where Trump himself came out and said, release the affidavit. I dare you. Now, here's my thinking in terms of what Trump has that they're after. I believe this more than ever. At first, I was kind of like, yeah, maybe, maybe not. I don't know. He does have records that will incriminate, I don't think just the FBI. I think it goes all the way to Obama. It goes to Hillary Clinton and Joe Biden, Chuck Schumer, Nancy Pelosi, Mitch McConnell. I believe he's got stuff on all of them. And I think he's preparing to blow a case wide open. Whether he runs or the next person who does run, if the right people get into office, and he's kind of waiting to see what happens here, I think, in the election. The primaries was a good sign. Got rid of a bunch of rhinos. A bunch of establishment GOP people. We'll see what happens now. I think he's going to wait it out until closer to the election. Right now, there's a lot of a lot of static from everything that's happening, a lot of interference happening with all the stuff that's going on. I think at some point he's going to drop the bomb, and he's running for office. And I think that he's also going to drop a whole lot of information leading up to the election. He's got it figured out. He hasn't been around, he wasn't just born yesterday. This guy's been in business for a long time. He's played the games with the Democrats for a long time. He knows the Democrats. He used to be a Democrat. He used to pay them off when he had to get things done to build his buildings. He knows what they're like. And now he's been on the inside of it. At the national level, I'm sure he was very observant and very keenly aware of everything that was going on and the chaos that they create to keep the executive confused on their heels. See, Trump doesn't care about people know he's an open book. People know his past. People know who he is. He's lived his life in public for a long time. They want to create this monster because they just can't stand the guy because he's not part of the establishment, so they have to weed him out. So this is where we're at with this. I think he actually has something. And I think the FBI and the powers that control the FBI are behind a lot of what's going on right now. I'm pretty sure that's what's happening. So we have this craziness in the media and in the hysteria, the MSNBC and the CNN types that are talking about all this stuff, and they have all these... I mean, Peter Strzok was fired from the FBI, supposedly, because his work ethic, the things that he did, he was corrupt. He was fired. But who has him on? MSNBC. He's their star. Michael Cohen was made out to be an idiot. But who do they have on? Oh, let's put him on because he's one of Trump's lawyers. You know, Trump escalates rhetoric against law enforcement. It's one of their headlines 2 days ago. Bonkers crop of GOP candidates undercuts whatever. It's just on and on and on with these people. If it weren't for Trump, they'd have no Trump at all. They'd have no show at all. That everything's about that. Well, folks, it's Monday, and we've got a lot of week ahead of us. I think this week is going to be some interesting news coming out. Now, the rest of this week, fortunately, I think about every morning with the exception of tomorrow morning. Actually, tomorrow morning, if I get up early enough, I'll be able to have a show. But I've got a lot to do between now and tomorrow morning. I'll be traveling tomorrow. Be up in Appleton, Wisconsin again tomorrow. The rest of the week until through Saturday. But I plan to be up there by 1 o'clock or so tomorrow morning. The rest of the week, looks like I'll be able to have a show. So stay tuned, and I'll hopefully have a show fairly early in the mornings is what I'm planning on. So we'll see how that goes. But in the meantime, I would invite you to pray for the nation, the war that we are in. Let's just call it for what it is. And it's a spiritual war. It's all, as all wars are, there's something spiritual going on. And especially when you have ideology involved, because not that God can't move or work or touch hearts in the midst of a Marxist nation, but the way he uses that nation is very, very, very different. So pray for our nation, pray for our leaders, folks. Have a great week, have a great day. God bless.